WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program here on Wednesday morning. And let's go right back to the phones. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thank you for your patience. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. For Mary, tell her it was June of 1980 for the elephants going up this, up Union Street. It was Clyde, Beatty, and Cole Brothers Circus Parade. I Googled it for her.
I was going to say, you Googled it. Okay, I was going to say, you have some pretty specific dates there. Has that day lived on in your mind ever since?
I couldn't even remember it through the whole house. From the sub of like this, Clyde, Beatty, and Cole. I don't even know if I said it right, but that's what it was. It was a circus parade going up Union Street in June of 1980. No pitches. And I saw the picture. Oh, my God, I love that cow. Oh, she's young. That's like a young cow, Kevin, isn't it?
Yeah, they refer to it as a young Holstein.
Beautiful cow, yeah. Oh, there's the window. Oh, I wonder if they told her ahead of time that she was coming to the window.
I don't know. I don't think so. Judging by the photo there, it looked like they were pretty. I mean, I'm sure they were aware that they were coming because you could kind of see them coming around. You know, they were walking down the street. You can't miss a cow walking down the street.
They had the cow's face right inside the window.
Yeah,
when I
drove by, they were right at the corner of Bridge Street and the entrance of the gas station. So and they, you know, people were stopping and wanting to pat them and things like that. So.
Oh, so beautiful. And congratulations on your checkup. That's wonderful news. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Yes.
You must have been really excited.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, declared cancer-free, you know, 6 months ago. But you still, you got a little bit of a, when you go into the, you know, like, I hope everything's okay, you know. It's always in the back of your mind.
7 years. And I don't know if it still is. My sister, I had two sisters that passed of it. But my other sister was 14 and she had cancer and she had to have a hysterectomy. So she had to go every year for all, you know, until she passed 3 years ago. But she lived 50 years longer than they said. So,
I mean, I'll still be having scans. Like they'll still have me going and do scans like every 6 months or so. Or actually this time he said, you know, you can wait a year and then it'll be an X-ray. So, that's for the kidney stones.
Really, really happy for you. That's great, Tim.
Thank you.
Wonderful news. You must be go to Stevie's and celebrate.
you know, when I got home, I had a nice bottle of Dark Arts, the new Mizunara that line that they came out with. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a little bit of that to celebrate.
Is that good?
Very good. Yeah, it's
Is it a dry wine or a
No, it's a bourbon.
Bourbon. Okay.
And they use a Japanese wood stave to help kind of flavor it. It's really really very good, and it's actually the most affordable now of all the Dark Arts line. That, you know, normally that stuff's around $100 a bottle, the Dark Arts.
Oh my God.
But this is at $59 a bottle. So
no kidding.
Yeah.
I used to drink scotch all the time. I used to love scotch.
I tried some really great scotches last Friday at a tasting over there. And I learned all about the different regions of Scotland and the flavors that brings out in each one. Oh, so good.
Wow. How much was that scotch? It must have been expensive, I bet.
One was $38.
Oh, that's not bad.
There was one that we tried that was $140 a bottle, but...
Oh, forget it.
That's why I go to these tastings, because I'll never get to try some of those otherwise, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, that sounds great. Well, anyway, I was really glad to hear about your checkup, and that's wonderful. I like that this morning, too, with the cow and Mary's with the elephants, because they're so cute.
Yeah.
All right, you have a great day.
You too.
Celebrate.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye.
And, that's... I mean, you really, it's harder to do that these days, to pull off having a parade like that with wild animals. You know, well, I mean, not wild, but they were. Plus, circuses don't have animals anymore. You know, you can't, like, the circuses, the small circuses like Clyde Beatty have pretty much folded up because they're not allowed to have the animals anymore. I remember I went, I think it was the Clyde Beatty Circus. Is that the one they used to do at Rochester at the fairgrounds? When my son was little, we would bring him to that because we used to get, where did we get the tickets from? I think we used to get them at the diner. I think they used to like have us sell them, and then they gave like a certain amount of free tickets to the staff for selling the tickets. I forget exactly how we got them, or maybe it was from the newspaper. But anyway, I got free tickets, and so we went, had a great time. Then I think the next year we went again. I remember it was in New Bedford at one point. We went there, and by that point, you know, I think my son was kind of like, "Yeah, I'm over the circus." I can take it or leave it. I mean, I'm glad that they've made changes. I know that Barnum and Bailey is back out on the road, but they've made adaptations to the show because of the concern about the Animal Acts. But I don't know. I was never really a great circus guy in terms of sitting and watching the circus, but I'm fascinated with circus history. And some of the, you know, the old timey photos and things like that. Like when you learn how big things were, when P.T. Barnum took it to another level, you know, when it went from being just these small one tent little traveling shows to he turned it into this mega show that now sells out arenas. And every year when I would start covering the Celtics for the season, they always had Ringling Brothers for like two straight weeks right before the basketball season started. So you would go in there to start covering the Celtics games and the whole arena still smelled like the circus. And, you know, maybe not out in the arena bowl where all the fans are sitting, but I'm talking like in the bowels of the arena, in all the tunnels and, you know, because when I would go to, when you go to cover something at TD Garden, there's a couple of different media levels. There's the, what they call the halo, which is the ninth floor, which is where like all the hockey writers sit. And now because the Celtics are so popular, they have to put a lot of writers up there too. A lot of media people up there, but that's that inner ring. That's that ring that goes around the very top. And when you go up there, it's like offices, you know, it's carpeted and there's glass partitions to keep you from falling over. And, you know, you have a nice little office chair and there's a counter where you can put your laptop and outlets and all that kind of stuff. And they have, you know, soda machines up there and snack machines and coffee machines and all that stuff up there. And that definitely, you know, has a different feel than when you're working down below. I used to, when I first started covering the Celtics, because they weren't great at that time, I actually had a courtside seat. So I was, you know, baseline under the basket, first row. So I was sitting literally right on the sideline, on the baseline, behind the stanchion. I was like right there. One time, Dikembe Mutombo, I'm sorry, no, was the other very tall guy, Hakeem Olajuwon, stumbled over the table and fell on top of me. Another time, I was working on my laptop and a ball came right at me. Instead of catching it, I just like kind of volleyball batted it and everybody booed me. I got booed by the entire TD Garden arena because I didn't catch the ball. I was like, I was just trying to keep it from hitting my brand new laptop. But that's how close I was then. And then, you know, when the team got better, they started moving you further and further back. So you would be walking through the tunnels and all that area to be able to get to where you had to go. And you could smell the circus. Anyway, 508-996-0500. So we're talking about that because we have the story at WBSM.com about the cow, Kevin the cow, who went to Dunkin' to get his donut yesterday morning. And you can see the photo right there at WBSM.com and on the app. As I also mentioned earlier, New Bedford Light has the story, newbedfordlight.org. And they have a kind of their main piece of today. Cushion Avenue businesses are feeling the immigration pinch. But then at the very top, they have a link to the breaking news of yesterday. Three immigrants detained in a raid at New Bedford Car Wash. So ICE actually showed up at the Minuteman Car Auto Wash, which still has one of the coolest signs I've ever seen. But they detained three workers there. Another worker who was Cape Verdean was asked for his name, but he was not arrested. And this, they got their information, New Bedford Light did, from Corinne Williams, the executive director of the Community Economic Development Center. And she said that the agents arrived dressed in civilian clothing and driving unmarked vehicles. They did not identify themselves. According to Adrian Ventura, the director of an immigrant advocate group, who says that they did not identify themselves during the raid, and that one of the owners of the car wash said she recognized one of the agents as a former customer. So that, I think, is an interesting bit of information. So this is somebody who was going there as a customer and knew that they were employing undocumented immigrants. Now, William said that all three are undocumented, but that none of them have criminal records. Also, New Bedford Light reached out to the police department. Holly Huntoon, the public information officer for the police, said that the department was not informed nor aware of the incident. And this is the second immigration raid on a business in New Bedford in a month. A Guatemalan immigrant was arrested February 10th in an operation involving about 10 immigration agents at the store on Cushion Avenue where the former owner was convicted of selling fake documents for immigrants. And again, they entered not wearing uniforms or vests identifying them as immigration officials. So again, you can read more details at newbedfordlight.org, but those are the basics of that story. 508-996-0500. I'm just taking a look at the weather on channel 12, because I switch over to 12 at 7 o'clock for the local news. And there may be some snow showers tonight. But other than that, we're looking at 50s. You know, we got to get through today and tomorrow in the 40s, 48 today, 45 tomorrow, then in the 50s. And then on Sunday, it's going to hit 60 degrees before there's some wind and rain later on. But this is mid-March, and it's actually surprisingly dry for mid-March, but we'll see what happens this weekend. I have a friend coming down, I forget exactly where she lives, but it's a couple hours away north, and she's coming down to check out some of the haunted locations we have around here. And I said, well, as long as the weather cooperates, there's a few kind of outdoor places that we can check out. And then I was looking at the weather and I said, wait, it's going to be almost 60 degrees on Sunday. You sure you don't want to do Sunday instead of Saturday? But that rain might play a factor. Also, another thing that I want to bring up, and this is something that people who follow the local political scene are well aware of this particular individual. But I'm looking for... hold on 1 second. Grab this page here. Okay. So there's a gentleman by the name of Patrick Higgins who is kind of a political gadfly in the area and considers himself an enforcer of the open meeting law. And on the agenda for tomorrow night's New Bedford City Council meeting, the council has to place on file with their attorney a complaint about a violation of the open meeting law by Patrick Higgins for the text message that Councillor Morad sent out to all the city councillors. So it, even though, you know, as again, this person files these all the time, Councillor Burgo made reference to it when he was with us the other day, but the council does have to, you know, address this at least by placing it on file. Got a caller on hold here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. I was just wondering, are you going to put up that recipe for the St. Patrick's dinner?
Oh, the corned beef and cabbage in the Instant Pot?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had it up there the other day. It was on our Facebook page. What I'll do is I'll see if I can bring it back up onto the main page. But if,
okay.
Do you have email?
Oh, yeah.
Send me an email, tim@wbsm.com, and I will send you a direct link to it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Thank you.
And what I'll do is, we put it out on the Facebook page, I think a couple days ago. I don't know. I had somebody else in the company schedule a bunch of our St. Patrick's Day content. So I don't know when things went, but we'll get it back out there. I'll get it back out on the social media, and anybody that wants it directly can just email me or send me an app chat message asking for it, and I'll send you the direct link. But super easy. You get your Instant Pot. You fill it up with water. What you might want to do is you might want to put the rack at the bottom to lift the meat up off the bottom of the pot. But you put your water, you put your meat in. You fill it with water so that it covers the meat. And you might have to slice the corned beef a little bit depending on the size of your Instant Pot. But you put it in the pot, cover it with water. Take the seasoning packet that comes with the meat, put that into the water. I like to throw in a squirt of French's yellow mustard. I usually just do like a big long squirt over the top of the meat and, you know, let that mix in with the water. Close it up, set the Instant Pot for meat, and then 90 minutes. Now it's going to take a little while for the steam to build up. So it won't say necessarily that it's on. But then, you know, it's working. It's building up the steam. It's building up the pressure. And then it will count down. And then when it's done, this is the important part. You know, don't let the steam release naturally, which takes quite a while. You want to release it manually. So you want to use the little lever in the back to open it up and let the steam out. But you got to be careful. First of all, don't burn yourself with the steam. But if you open it up too much, water is going to start to come out and spray all over the place. So you only got to do a little bit at a time, a little bit more. And then eventually, once all the steam is out, you can take the top off, take your meat out. I like to wrap it in foil to keep it warm. Then you throw in, you don't do anything else. You can take that rack out of the bottom if you want, but you don't do anything else. You just take all your carrots, your potatoes, your cabbage, anything else you're going to put in, onions, throw it all in the water. All of it. Then close the lid again, and you just want to do a regular steam. You can leave it on the meat setting. It doesn't matter, but a regular steam pressure cook for 5 minutes. And that's all it takes. 5 minutes. And then again, release the pressure manually. Don't let it go naturally because then it might get too mushy. And that's it. You've got everything already done. It's all cooked in the same water, so it gets all the flavor of the meat in it and everything. And you will have the most tender, juicy corned beef you've ever had. And then what I like to do is I like to take a little sour cream and some horseradish, mix that up, and have a little horseradish sauce to go with it. That and a Guinness, that's all I do. That's my St. Patrick's Day meal. All right, I got to take a break here. We will be right back with the news. All right, we're going to go into the newsroom now with Mike Roberts. Before we do that, though, DSY sent an app chat message. Wants to know, how many days are left of Trump? Well, according to the countdown here until Inauguration Day 2029, 1,410 days. All right, now let's go to Mike in the WBSM newsroom.
Embezzlement in Dartmouth, earthquake in the Azores, and changes underway on the Sangamore.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The Dartmouth woman, who pleaded guilty to embezzling almost $500,000 from two different employers, was sentenced yesterday in federal court in Boston. 42-year-old Jasmine Botello sentenced to 20 months in prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release. She was also ordered to pay restitution. Botello was indicted by a federal grand jury in May of 2024. In September, she pleaded guilty to two counts of wire fraud as well. A magnitude 5.3 earthquake struck the Azores yesterday. The earthquake tracker says it struck at 7:14 a.m. local time near San Miguel. The earthquake struck on the anniversary of the 2011 earthquake and tsunami that struck Japan and caused the Fukushima nuclear disaster. Building the new Sagamore Bridge is going to be a relief for many, but it's bad news for 15 property owners. A dozen residential and three commercial property owners sent letters last week from MassDOT saying the state will be taking their properties by eminent domain. The state promises to pay each property's appraisal values in full and help the affected residents relocate.
WBSM Sports.
The Oklahoma City Thunder visit the Celtics tonight at the Garden at 7:30. And the Bruins have won back-to-back games after rallying for a 3-2 victory over the Panthers. Bruins goalie Jeremy Swayman says he enjoyed watching them come back from behind.
Yeah, it was a blast. It's really awesome to see a group like ours having success against high-quality teams. So I couldn't be more proud, but we're getting hungrier.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Waking up, the temperatures in the mid and upper 30s is actually not too bad for this time of year. I love to put a little perspective on the forecast because, yeah, it's cold, but we're supposed to be in the upper 20s. So I'd call it a little bit of a win if you like springtime weather. Now, that said, unfortunately, our springtime stretch comes to an end this afternoon where temperatures will still be a little above average, but in the mid and upper 40s, we're not quite as toasty as the last few days. We'll see some sunshine this afternoon. Not a bad Wednesday, to say the least. Overnight tonight, though, things get interesting as our next system rolls around, could bring us a stray snow shower, even a couple raindrops as we start your Thursday morning. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Shalhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Got my flower, I got my power. right. I guess it's all in my heart. You'll be my only, my one and only. It's the way it should start. Crazy ways are evident in the way you're wearing your clothes. Superimposes is precedent as the evening starts to glow. I said it's
all right. Welcome back in 508-996-0500. And of course, one thing that we always try to do here at WBSM is save you money. That's why we have SeizeTheDeal.com. SeizeTheDeal is a place where you can go to get great deals on restaurants and other businesses as well, but all local and all the way around the South Coast into Rhode Island, into the Plymouth area. You never know where you're going to find great deals at SeizeTheDeal.com, but always places that are, you know, a short drive. And places where you want to go and hang out or eat. And right now, we've got some great deals up there for you. We have $50 to New Beige for just $25. $20 in gift certificates to the Donut Factory in Dartmouth for just $10. $50 to Percy's Place in Wareham for $25. $50 to Bento's Bar and Grill, the new spot in New Bedford, for just $25. How about $50 in e-vouchers to Tipsy Toboggan for $25. That's an e-voucher. You can use that right away. It's going to send it to you as soon as you pay for it. And you can use that today. And then we have a couple of great deals that are coming up. We have, well, of course, just screwed that up. We have $50 in e-vouchers to Dave and Buster's for $25. It's actually going to go on sale Friday at 9 a.m., so you'll be able to just, again, purchase that and you'll get it sent right to your email and be able to use it. And then also, we have $30 to Knuckleheads Bar and Grill in New Bedford for just $15. And that goes on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. The folks over at Fun 107 on the MGM show will be broadcasting from there tomorrow morning. So we'll have a special deal on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. $30 in gift certificates to Knuckleheads for just $15. So again, SeizeTheDeal.com is a place to go. Check it each and every day for great deals. And you can also sign up so that they'll let you know as soon as a new deal is announced. But we have saved tons of money for people using SeizeTheDeal.com, and make sure that you get it to work for you as well. All right, 508-996-0500. We were talking about the ICE raid that happened in New Bedford yesterday. We were talking about the cow that visited Duncan in Fairhaven yesterday. There's also a story that WCVB has this morning. An elementary school student in Brockton said someone tried to kidnap her yesterday. She said the police said that happened after school in the woods near Davis Commons. The student said someone tried to grab her book bag, but she managed to escape. So they're asking for students to avoid that area. And they're asking for anybody that might have, you know, any information or have seen anybody suspicious to reach out to them. But that area, if I'm correct, I'm just looking something up here. Yeah. So that is right in the area where I first started going to school. My kindergarten, I went to the Davis School, which is right next to the Davis. It's right where those woods are. So she was probably a Davis School student. And it's not a remote area, but I could see where somebody could be kind of hiding out around there. I remember going to that school and thinking it was like the biggest building I'd ever been in my life. And then you drive by it later on when you're an adult and you say, wow, that place is so tiny. Same thing happened with my elementary school in Plymouth. It seemed super big to me. But when you look at it now, you're like, wow, what a tiny school. Like it would take me 2 minutes to walk across it. But back then it felt like it took 2 hours to get from one end of the building to the other. So it just seems like, you know, this is a time when people are need to be on their guard. I mean, you've got to kind of be on your guard all the time. But between the story of the woman in the cemetery the other day here in New Bedford, now this student in Brockton, somebody tried to kidnap her into the woods. I think people's mental illness might be getting the better of them these days. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We will be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. And Johnny, I just sent you the email with the link to that corned beef and cabbage instant pot recipe. So there you go. 508-996-0500. I think we have a return caller here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yes, sir. You don't mind if I talk with you again? You're not very busy today, but there's a few things I wanted to talk to you about, Tim. Is it all right if I talk with you?
Okay, sure.
Okay. I had a tough day yesterday. Last night I went to bed at 11 o'clock. 4 o'clock I woke up. I couldn't sleep. I've been up since 4:30 this morning.
Oh, man.
So I had a bad day yesterday. I had my cable out for 3 days. They finally come here and fixed my cable. And then I had a lot of trouble with getting one of my prescriptions that I take. So everything worked out fine yesterday. I was so happy because, and you know, I listened to the radio. You know, what could I do? I had no TV. So I listened to the radio every night. You know, all the different talk show hosts that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to all that. So why I called you was is this. Tim, 4 years ago, I bought a nice pair of pajamas. And I put them in a drawer, you know, with a cover and all that. And the other day, I said to myself, gee, I'm going to take them out. And I sent them out to be washed. They brought them back. Would you know the pajamas fit me? I used to have a little waist. I have a big waist now. So I can wear these nice pajamas. So can you imagine that happening?
Yeah, that's pretty lucky.
So after 4 years, I used to be like 160 pounds, and now I'm like 204. So, and you know, I'm 5'9". So I'm so happy about that. Here's the other thing I wanted to tell you. Tim, nowadays you go to Walmart, you go to Targets. They all have restrooms right there, right? You go to Market Basket, they have all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Here's the thing. Years ago, my wife and I, they built a brand new store in Rhode Island. So my wife and I says, we're going to go to that new store, and it's a brand new market and all that. So while I was in, you know, it was a long way that we traveled. So while I was at the market, the manager came by me and I said, sir, he said, yes, can I help you? I said, could you tell me where the restrooms are here? Well, he says, you're going to have to go up the stairs and go down the hall. It'll be on the right. So, you know, Tim, while I was up there, I see these people walking, you know, and you know, the store had an angle of lights. Well, the two people that were upstairs, they were security guards.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and one was walking. So when I came out, I made believe I had to tie my shoes. So one was walking one way. You know, one was a man, one was a woman. And they were coming around, you know, they would meet each other. You know what I'm saying? You know, one going one way, one the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tim, that market had a lot of people that were stealing from there. You know, people were going up to, like, the meat market and open up their shirt and throw a big piece of meat in there and everything. You know. Eventually, they lost that market. They had to close the market. Would you believe that?
No, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and that was in, of course, Rhode Island. And I thought it was very unusual that, you know, they would have a restroom upstairs there, way up high. That's how I saw the security people. But, you know, today when you go to Walmart or you go to Target or even if you go to Market Basket, all that's right there. The restrooms are right there for everybody.
Yeah, they usually have them right there as soon as you walk in, too. I mean,
yeah, so that's a good thing.
Like, you go to a place like a TJ Maxx or a Marshall's, they usually have the bathroom in the back. So you can only imagine how many times they have to deal with people that say, oh, where's the restroom? Where's the restroom? When you put it right at the front, people just see it when they walk in, so.
Yeah. Oh, and while we're talking, if I got time, I want to tell you the other story. Because this is a true story, and you know, I can talk about it now because life has changed. I don't have my father-in-law anymore living. And the company he worked for, they're out of business. I mean, they got a business in Hyannis, but as far as New Bedford, they don't. Okay.
Well, just so you know, I got about 2 minutes before I got to take a break.
Okay,
so.
I'll have 2 minutes. Okay, Tim, you remember the Job Corps that was here in New Bedford?
I do not.
Oh, you don't remember? Oh, because, you know, this is in the 70s when they had the Job Corps. So anyhow, my father-in-law, he was a guard. And his job was the third shift to see what was going on. And every Friday night, I used to leave my job because I worked second shift. I go down to see him, and I would stop at, I think it was called the Colonial. I would get a cup of coffee for him and a cheese roll. And I would get the same for me. We would sit down and eat it. And, you know, what was going on down there? And, I could have told the police and everything else, but I never said a word because you never know. Every Friday night, I used to see a car come from New Jersey and a car come from New York. And you know what these guys were doing in that parking lot downtown? They were selling drugs to the kids.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. I saw all the stuff going on every Friday. It was every Friday night they were here. And I said to my father, oh, there's that guy again with the New Jersey plates. And, you know, I knew who they were by their number plate. I knew everything. We could see everything going on. It was unbelievable. Oh, and before I go, here's the last thing. My father-in-law, you know, the FBI had their two cars there. And the FBI would come all hours of the night. My father-in-law would have to let them in, open the garage doors, and let the cars out. So one night my father-in-law says to me, he says, I want to show you something, but he says, you're never to say anything because he says, I would get fired. So my father-in-law opened the trunk of one of the, there was two FBI cars. They were both Plymouths. And one was green and white. The other one was blue and white. So my father-in-law says to me, I'm going to open the trunk. I want you to look in. So he opened the trunk and, you know, it was in the shotguns and bullets and everything else. I'll never forget it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, and then afterwards, my wife and I are in Mattapoisa on the pier, and one of them FBI cars parked on the side of us. And I said to my wife, I've seen this car. This is the FBI. And those cars had telephones in them. And you know what they were doing, Tim? They were watching for a boat to come in. That was, you know, bringing bales of marijuana and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like
sure,
that.
Yeah.
And during that time, that's what was going on. So, you know, with me not sleeping, I wanted to talk to you to tell you these two things, these two episodes that I saw in my lifetime. And I thought, you know, your people would be like to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, I saw those FBI cars. My father told me, don't ever say anything. He says, I'll get fired. So that's how it was. And he said, they come 4 a.m, they come 2 a.m. He said, I never know when they're coming here. Never. But he said, but my job is to make sure they get out of here with the cars. And this is in the 70s, Tim.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You take care now.
All right. You as well. I hope you can get some sleep.
Oh, well, not today. No, I lost it already.
Oh, well, take a nap.
Too excited with the problems. You know, I know I'm all done today.
I'll try to be really boring in the next hour so that it'll put you to sleep.
Oh, no, I'm listening to you. No, okay.
All right. You have a good day.
Yeah, you too, Tim.
All right, I got to take a break here. We will be right back. All right, coming up in the next hour, more with you, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails, both available in the WBSM app. We also have a new contest up for you at WBSM.com and on the app if you want to enter to win tickets to see Adam Ray as Dr. Phil. He's coming to Boston. It's a really funny show where comedian Adam Ray portrays Dr. Phil just like it was the Dr. Phil show, only a lot wackier. And you could win a pair of tickets right now by entering at WBSM.com.